Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today on this first Sunday after Christmas, we focus on the hymn, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. We're going to take a little bit of time to consider the background of the hymn, and then we'll take a look at the words themselves, their connection with Scripture, and also how we can apply this hymn to our daily Christian lives. First of all, going to the background, we find out that the hymn writer was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He lived from 1807 to 1882, and he was known by many as America's greatest poet. What I want to share now is the fact that Henry, in his life, he had some very extreme ups and then downs in his life, and that's part of what led, finally, to the writing of this hymn later on in his life. An up is that he began school at the age of 3, and by the age of 6, he was already reading classical literature and writing stories, obviously a brilliant man. At the age of 19, he was already a college graduate, and he was called to be a professor at Bowdoin College. At age 24, he married. By the age of 27, Henry was already viewed as one of America's most respected scholars. But then he had a downtime, though. 4 years into his marriage, his wife became ill and died. It was a really difficult time for him, and it took 7 years for him to recover from that loss before he could finally take the step to remarry. And then he had an uptime. God blessed him with 5 children. By 1860, while he was in his early 50s, he had found wealth, and he was known throughout the entire world at that time in history. And then he had a downtime, though, because in 1861, when there were so many things in his life going incredibly well, tragedy struck again. While lighting a match, Longfellow's second wife's clothes caught on fire, and she burned to death. His faith was again challenged because it was right at that time that the Civil War was beginning, and Longfellow simply hated the Civil War. And then to top that, his oldest son, fighting in the Civil War, he was wounded, he was sent home to recover, and according to the history of Longfellow, his prayers turned to rage. He was just so angry at what had happened with these difficulties in life and just having a hard time reconciling, you know, where could God be in this whole thing? So he asked his friends, he asked his God, where is the peace? That was his question, where is the peace? There is another uptime, though, because on December 25th, and that would be right in the midst of the Civil War, being from 61 to 65. So right in the middle of the Civil War, 150 years ago from this year, with the Civil War on his mind, that is when he wrote the hymn. But keep in mind, though, the hymn that we're going to sing after we preach on it here, it's a hymn that's not a typical joyous Christmas kind of a hymn. It's a solemn hymn. It's a dark hymn. And it kind of moves through that way in a very sad manner, but it is uplifting at the end. When he wrote the hymn a long time ago, they say that the uplifting verses at the end, that inspired the Union Army during the time of the Civil War, and even the entire world found out about it over a period of time, and they were inspired by it too. Now the hymn. In the first stanza, it says, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Don't most people long for such things? Peace on earth? Who's not in favor of peace on earth? Who's not in favor of goodwill to men? The angel announced to the shepherds on that first Christmas Eve, the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The Bible tells us that suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and the way the NIV puts it, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. A little bit of a difficult part of the Bible to translate there. A number of different translations on that. But what does that really mean, though? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. What's that about? Well, Dr. Arthur Just, a professor at our own Fort Wayne Seminary, he gave this answer. He wrote, "Those who receive the news of the child's birth in faith, these are the men of his favor. Those are the ones on whom God's favor rests." So the peace that the angels spoke about is not an absence of war. So here is Longfellow in the midst of the war, and he's struggling over the war. He wants peace, and yet the angel spoke of a different kind of peace. The angel spoke of not an absence of war, but spoke of a peace between sinful people and our holy God. That's the kind of peace that was spoken about. That's what God wants us to understand. So we don't know. I mean, probably Longfellow was a Christian man, but he did have, I believe, a misconception about that statement, and now that statement ends up running through virtually the entire hymn. So let's learn a little bit more about it. Let's learn what the full truth is. Let's rejoice in that truth. Let's make some application to our lives. Going on to stanza 2, it says, "I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Boy, he couldn't get that out of his mind, could he? You know, on that Christmas day, he was probably hearing the church bells chiming that over and over again, and he's thinking, how can this be true? Well, since the fall of mankind, right after that fall, what did God do? God promised, "I will send the Savior." Wonderful news. God was offering eternal peace to everyone. Not world peace, but eternal peace. Nevertheless, among the inhabitants of the earth, I think throughout time, and even today, most people are rejecting God's wonderful offer of true eternal peace, peace now, peace in every circumstance, peace forever. Why do people do that? Some of the reasons I thought about, I think some people would say, "I don't need it." Some people would say, "I don't want it." Some people would say, "I don't understand it." And some people might say, "I'm just too busy for it." But what should we do, though? We should praise the Almighty God that He made us aware that we have done wrong, that we cannot make it right, that we need the Christ of Christmas, the only one who can fix us and make us ready for heaven. And then, knowing of our need for Him, let us rejoice that God has given us to Him, God has united us to Him, and now through our trust in Him, we are ready for a wonderful eternity. There is peace between us who are sinners and God who is holy, because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. There is wonderful news in the midst of the bad news of this sinful world. In the third stanza, it says, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Can you catch that flavor that he's thinking really about earthly things much more so than the relationship between us and God through Christ? Think back to the Civil War. It must have been a horrible time. We have state battling against state, family against family, even brother against brother. Sometimes within one family, one brother goes off to fight for the North, the other brother goes off to fight for the South. Maybe in some cases, they're right on the same battlefield trying to kill each other. Also, too, when we think back to the Civil War, more Americans died in the Civil War than in any other war that we have ever been in as a nation. During the time of the Civil War, there were 625,000 Americans who gave their lives in that war. In World War II, a much greater conflict, only 405,000 Americans lost their lives. So the Civil War is really the worst war that we have ever been in as a nation. But what might we be able to say here, though, when we receive that gift of peace and forgiveness from God, should the result be civil war? Well, by no means. Rather, the result should be that as God has loved us and God has freely forgiven us, what should we be doing toward others? We should be freely forgiving them and loving them. Of course, when people are wanting to do things that are unjust and wrong in the sight of God, should we fight for such causes? By all means. So we're not opposed to war, but God wants us to have this all straight, that when we are blessed by Him, those blessings then flow from us to others. In the fourth stanza, it says, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." So it seems at this point, in the midst of Longfellow's depression, the Lord is now opening his eyes to see that the Almighty God, He is in control, even in the midst of this very difficult situation, even in the midst of the Civil War. So he saw God's power and love overcoming the world's hatred and death. Even for people who are sorry for their sins and believe in God as their Savior, God has not promised a life of ease, but rather God has promised to be our refuge and strength in the midst of every trouble. God has promised to use our troubles to grow our faith in Jesus Christ. God has promised to eventually deliver us from every trouble, but not in this life, not necessarily in this life, but definitely in the life to come. In the final stanza, it says, "Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men." We can't know for certain, but when it talks about going from night to day, maybe that was Longfellow thinking about the end of the war. Maybe there was a key turning point right at that time, and he could see now the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, and that was his idea of day, was the end of the Civil War. As wonderful as that was when the Civil War finally ended, it was nothing in comparison to the peace God gives us between Himself and us, that peace which was won by God putting on human flesh, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the life He lived, by Him taking our wrongs, taking our punishment, and declaring, "It is finished." Even today, when many are hoping for peace on earth, let us rejoice in God's gift of eternal peace. That means that no matter what the circumstance is, if we are healthy or not, we can be at peace. If we have a lot of possessions or not, we can be at peace. If we have a job or are without a job, we can be at peace. If we have friends or our friends have gone the way of the world, we can still be at peace. God wants us to know that no matter what our circumstances are, they do not affect that blessed gift of peace that we have between our holy God and who we are as sinners, and that is all, again, because of Jesus Christ. As God provides this opportunity, may God help us to point others to His peace, which comes only through the Christ of Christmas. And all God's people said, Amen.